our deen. It isn't just ibadat or worship. Deen isn't just worship. Rather, deen, in the deen of Islam, there are different parts, different sectors, different components. If you put them all together, that is the deen. So deen or religion isn't just ibadah. It is not just worship. Deen or the religion, in that you have worship actions, you have societal issues, you have your individual issues, you have conduct and manners. All of these things combined together makes the deen of a person. When the deen is completed at that time, when all of these different components and parts, in all of these parts and sectors of the deen, when an individual, when he completely practices them as a Sharia instructs him to do so. So just by worshipping on its own, a person does not become a complete mu'min believer. Just by worship alone, he doesn't become a person of complete iman. And every part of the deen is as important as the other. One is not less than the other. All the parts of religion are important. But what happens is that we get confused when we take hold of one part of the deen, give it more importance, emphasize on it more, and then we consider this person's pious and he's deendar. That's when a person then, that's his downfall. And today in this day and age, we think a person is very religious and pious and upright and righteous. Immediately a person will see him, he prays a lot of salah, he comes to the masjid, he's coming and going, he's doing work of the deen. And he's busy and occupied in ibadat and worship and piety. He's doing umrah and hajj and he's giving zakat and he's a pious person. He's really high level, we think. This is the sort of concept in our ma'ashrat, in our society, will put the stamp of approval on that person. He's pious. But when we look on the other side of the spectrum, akhlaq and conduct and manners is down nowadays. Ma'amulat, giving, taken, our situation is very bad. Fighting, quarreling, facade, disputes, enmity, inner diseases, these are present. So what happens then is that such a person, he represents the deen in the wrong way. And then people mock him. They think, oh, he thinks he's very religious. He thinks he's praying salah. And he considers himself a person who's pious. And then they give a wrong title to the deen people. So this is something to think about a lot, that deen, Islam, is the name when you combine all the sectors of life. Your akhlaq should be good, your conduct and manners should be good. All of the parts of akhlaq, what the Sharia instructs with regards to good manners and etiquettes and good character. Not just you, that you worship and ibadah, that you're pious. You've achieved piety. And you think you'll be forgiven just with ibadah? No. There are many parts that the doors of paradise will open due to good akhlaq, good conduct, your individual practice, your ma'ashrat, your giving, buying, selling, taking, giving. All of these things in your life, when they're correct, then we say that this person's become the muttaqi. لَعْلَكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, for which the Quran is instructed, that Allah Ta'ala said, I sent Ramadan to make you the muttaqi. So why did Ramadan come? Why has it come? Ramadan has come to realign and correct all the parts of our deen, to refresh our old deen, because it wants to make us muttaqi. So Allah says, all year long, 11 months, you do ibadah, you worship. Fine, but your akhlaq is not good. Your conduct and character is not good. Your individual lifestyles are not good. So Allah says, I sent this month for this purpose. And through this month, Allah says, I'm doing tazkiyah of mankind. And this is called tazkiyah. When all your individual components are being corrected and coming to i'tidal, balance, then tazkiyah is taking place. Yeah, this is what's happening. Ramadan, it's come for this purpose. The principles that Ramadan has brought, that's why Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that when Ramadan came, such a great hadith, subhanAllah, with regards to Ramadan, mustanid hadith, agreed hadith, and it is present in all the kitabs of hadith from the beginning. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam announced that a very azim and great and blessed month is about to come upon you. Azim. So how much greatness there must be in this month, that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying this in the beginning. Is it lacking greatness this month? Think about it. Every human being, it makes him great. This month makes every human being great. When in this month of Ramadan, when you take the connection with Ramadan, Ramadan has given us company, sohbat. Ramadan has come to give us company. Without sohbat, company, connection, you cannot do tazkiyah. So Allah says, I've selected this month for tazkiyah. So the first thing for tazkiyah, what do you need? Step number one is sohbat, the company, like you have the teacher. So Allah Ta'ala says, I'll give you this month to give you company, good company. Such a month, all the other months are good in the year, but regards to Ramadan, Allah says, no, this month is full of blessings and it's azim, so take the company of Ramadan. Allah says, connect yourself to Ramadan. Then there's du'as that Allah, definitely bring me into this month, Allah, because it's not a common normal month. Allah, this is your select special month. You know, it's like you take the company of somebody good, then you should take the company of good people, isn't it? Yeah, when you seek in company of friend of Allah, wali Allah, you look for someone khas, special. So this month is khas, it's special. We have come into the company of this month. And Allah's Nabi Sallallahu said that this month is full of barakat and blessings. It's extremely great. There's no limit to the barakah and blessings in this month. Blessings beyond blessings beyond blessings. But everything you'll get at that time, there's a condition. This month that's being defined to us, you will attain those things if you go the right way about it. Yes. So then, every part of the deen this month has touched. This small hadith, the Holy Prophet ﷺ explained everything. He said that in this month, do a lot of ibadah. Fine. Worship in a beautiful way. The Prophet ﷺ gave targheeb, he gave the advice of how to, fard we have to do anyway. We have to observe the fard. The question doesn't arise that you have to pray salah from before. Even now, when you pray the fard, the greatness and barakah of this month is such that it will be multiplied 70 times over your reward. Okay, that's fine. Then further, what is the targheeb that the Prophet ﷺ gave? That he's telling us about how to do ibadah in this month, that you have to continue to worship, not that you don't do ibadah, you continue to do ibadah. So the first explanation in this month is being told to us in the angle of tazkiyah, that the human being first looks at his ibadah. When you go to your sheikh, teacher, first he'll correct your salah, your teacher will, your sheikh. He will instill the fikr for salah into your heart. So in this month, when you first bump into Ramadan in the beginning, the first dawah that's been given to you is correct your ibadah, your salah. So it's stated because especially Ramadan says, I've come to purify you. So I'll give you more reward 70 times over. But then further, the targhib is given that if you observe nafal salah or nafal ibadah, that won't be less in reward either. If you do nafal, then that will be equivalent to one fard in Ramadan. So to make us habitual and get used to, Allah says, do ibadah. If you want to do tazkiyah, you want to become a muttaqi, you want to fear of Allah in your heart, Ramadan is telling us, then first step is do ibadah. Ibadah, pray tahajjud, awwabin, ishraq, after sunrise. These things you should observe and go towards nawafil ibadah, voluntary actions. It's not that you'll become a muttaqi without ibadah. First step, first principle is that you have to take hold of worship. Then beyond that, Rasulullah SAW gave us in the same hadith, the next subject is that this is the month of having pain and regard for other people, care for other people, and also to observe sabr. So this is the month of ghamkhari. In this month, you should have such a high level of conduct and character that you should be caring about other people in this month. Don't just learn about living yourself. Yes, you do ibadah, step number one. But in Ramadan, the thing that we lack in this month is akhlaq, having regard for others' manners, etiquette. Don't just think you prayed salah, read Quran, you've become muttaqi. No. This is the month of care and regard for other people. So this month of Ramadan teaches us this. Why? Because when we keep the fast, this is the hukum, the instruction, that you've kept the fast and you'll be a fasting person, you'll get the reward at that time when you do not oppress somebody. Isn't this the case? Don't oppress anyone else. Don't pester other people. Don't commit fraud with other people. Don't deceive other people. So this is the month of caring for others, looking after other people, giving money to other people. Someone's down, he's downfallen. Give him care and look after him. And this is the month of sabr. Sabr, patience. What's the reward for sabr? Jannah. Subhanallah. So this is the high level of tazkiyah, purification, is when a person observes sabr. The Mashayikh Ikram, our pious people, have said that Ramadan teaches us the high level action, sabr. Because this world that we live in, we got challenges and tests and trials. If you can live in this world, remember this, then in every footstep you need to have what? Sabr in this life. On every step of this journey. So Ramadan makes us practice sabr. That if you observe sabr and learn sabr, then your life will be high stage. Your level will be high stage. And then all difficulties, problems, issues, distresses, you'll be able to overcome them. You'll be able to bear them, and you won't do the wrong thing at that time. You won't do take the wrong solution. Rather, you will observe the solution in the light of the Sharia. At that time, you'll take the guidance from Sharia. So all of these things I'm mentioning are the steps of tazkiyah. When a person is doing tazkiyah, then four or five parts of our life, of our deen, all of those parts of our life, tazkiyah purifies and washes us and cleans us. That's why tazkiyah is important. And until we don't do our tazkiyah, purification, if we don't follow the tariqah, the method, we won't get anything. Just what will happen, you'll pray salah maybe. Maybe you'll give sadaqah to somebody. If you feel like, you'll give some money to somebody. If you feel like it, maybe you'll care for somebody. Maybe you'll meet some relative. Sometimes you'll shun some, you'll break some ties and relationships. This is not the system of Islam. That person can never be a muttaqi. He can never be muttaqi. Muttaqi, Ramadan prescribes, لَلَكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. If you want to become muttaqi at the end of Ramadan, then you need to care for others. You need to have pain and feel that pain that other people have. You need to look after other people. You need to feed people with food. And how great is the thawab that Allah gives for this action. So all of these things are for tazkiyah. Now here, what we learn is that Ramadan, this great month, it instructs in Ramadan, it tells, it explains, it's refreshing our deen. Pressing the reset button. That through tazkiyah, all of your parts of your life and your deen, when you correct them, you'll become a muttaqi, and then you'll have the right iman. And you'll be such an insan who will then enter into paradise. So then the beautiful thing that we learn next in with regards to tazkiyah, first you need the company of the pious person or Ramadan, then you need to correct your actions after taking the good company. The next step, which is lazim essential, is that without this, you cannot execute tazkiyah, purification. Without this next thing, you cannot implement purification of your soul and your inner self. And what is that? Dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah. Subhanallah. So now, in this same hadith, we are being prescribed. These are the words that without this, there's no way out of Ramadan. Whoever in their life, if you've not adopted dhikr in your life, if you don't, because when a student goes to a teacher, what does he learn? He learns dhikrullah from the teacher, the student. That's when he becomes a real human being. When the student goes to the sheikh, he asks for guidance, he starts doing dhikrullah that the sheikh tells him to do, then all the parts of the deen come into his life. Akhlaq improves, his ibadat improves, his individual life improves, he has manners with halal and haram, he understands halal and haram. So he stated, without dhikr, there's no success, because dhikr is the base, it's the foundation. To remember Allah, this hadith regards to is the Ramadan. In this, the person who does dhikr in Ramadan, he is forgiven beyond forgiven, because he's doing dhikrullah in Ramadan. So first and foremost, we need to be grateful for this name of Allah. How Allah so merciful to us that in Ramadan, every day we have a majlis, a gathering of dhikr. Imagine this. How supreme opportunity in our life. Every day, the most thing of Ramadan, the most important focal point of Ramadan is dhikrullah. Without dhikr, there's no way through Ramadan. Look at the hadith. So Allah's mercy and blessings. And through the nisbat, the connection of a wali Allah, we are sitting here. Through his teachings, and we're doing tazkiyah with his guidance. And for tazkiyah, what's the first step? Is sobat. We've adopted that practice of sobat. Alhamdulillah has given us the majlis, the gatherings. Subhanallah. Otherwise, how would we have attained this? We've got the majlis, we've got dhikr. Then consider, alhamdulillah, tazkiyah has started. Yes, you've got the company of a wali Allah, a teacher. You start doing dhikr. Ramadan's prescribing these principles. You are successful. All your four or five parts of your deen, inshallah, Ramadan says, I will correct for you. And when you leave Ramadan at the other side, لَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, you will depart as a muttaqi. That's why when a student goes to a khanqah, a teacher, he's gone with the right niyat for his islah, for his rectification. Because with niyat, everything is made. If your niyat is not correct, and then you go to a teacher, you think about wrong things, you talk rubbish, and in your mind you got waswasa, negative thoughts, then you will never be successful as a student. Yes, then that person is a munafiq, hypocrite. That the people at the time of the Holy Prophet, when they didn't take benefit, then how will a person, for example, today, if he doesn't have the right niyyah, take the good learnings from a teacher? When you go to a sheikh, a teacher, first clean your niyyah. Your intention should be right. There should be no negative thoughts about the teacher, or rubbish talk about the teacher, or negative thoughts about the teacher, or criticism or doubts. You cannot get no benefit from the teacher. First clean your thoughts and your heart, then go to the teacher, ask forgiveness from the teacher, say, please teach me tawbah and repentance. If you have one hair's width or weight of doubt or negative thoughts against the teacher, you're going to him, you want his salah, even one hair's width or weight in your mind or your heart of doubts, it's a waste of time. that sobered. Waste of time. He's a munafiq. He's a hypocrite. Nifaq is in the heart, and nifaq, a person who's a hypocrite, can never attain Allah's nearness. So first and foremost, when you go to the teacher, the wali Allah, just like you come to Ramadan, you should wash your niyat and clean it. You come into Ramadan, oh Ramadan, I want your barakat and your blessings. So clearly it's been taught to us, when you go to a teacher for tazkiyah, first principle is your niyat should be correct and clean. Your intention should be clean. The teacher I'm going to learn, seeking the guidance. The pious predecessors say that your sheikh, you should consider your teacher as the greatest personality in your life. Most respectful, most honorable, the greatest alim, the greatest sufi. If in comparison to your teacher, even if there's a big sheikh or anyone comes in front of you, you say, that's fine, no problem. You won't even feel like, you'll say that my sheikh is enough for me. I don't need any other guidance. Who's telling us this standard? Hazrat Mujaddad al-Afthani, rahmatullahi, in his maktubat, whose murids you are, mashallah, you're his students. He taught us these principles, and Ramadan teaches this. So this is how you do tazkiyah. Tazkiyah first cleans your niyyah, and your niyyah, your intention should be clean. When you go to your teacher, to a sheikh, to learn, you should have so much azmat for him in your heart, subhanAllah. When others say, no, this person's come, this big shot's come, and you say, no, my sheikh's enough for me, I don't need anybody else. I remember myself, I was a minor at that time. When I used to go to Hazrat Sahib, my sheikh, there would be a ijtama. Hazrat Sahib's, Hazrat Fazal Ali Qureshi Ramadar's ijtama, yearly ijtama, annual ijtama in Miskinpur, and he was the sheikh of my teacher, our grandfather sheikh, and all the whole dunya used to go to Miskinpur to the ijtama, and I used to go to meet my sheikh. And at that time, when the ijtama of his sheikh used to take place, many people used to go and travel there. But Allah's karam was, Allah Ta'ala, may he clean everyone's knee. And my heart didn't feel like I'd leave there to go. Everyone's going, let's go to Miskinpur, let's go to Miskinpur, the khanqa of Hazrat Fazal Ali Quraysh, which is the place where the teacher of my teacher. And when people say, Faruqi Sahib, you should also come with us, why don't you come with us? Lots of people come there, big personalities, lots of marids of Hazrat, khalifas would go. And I said, I don't feel like I leave Hazrat Sahib's company. I've come to me, my teacher, why should I go? I don't feel like it. I'm not gustak, I'm not doing badami, but my heart doesn't feel like I want to go there, because here I get more peace and comfort, here in the footsteps of my sheikh, subhanAllah. And so some people used to pester me, then Hazrat Sahib said, don't pester the faqir, don't force him to go, he doesn't want to go. And Hazrat Sahib put them off, and he didn't tell me, my sheikh didn't instruct me, he said, fine, you stay here, no problem. So the reason was that I didn't, and my heart didn't feel like going anywhere else. Why? Because I said that whatever there is I'm getting from here, the comfort, the peace, why do I need to go anywhere else? So Fazal Ali Qureshi for me is there, Mujaddad al-Afthani is there, everything I will get from the footsteps of my sheikh. In reality, even if Mujaddad al-Afthani was to come, I would not leave my teacher for his company, because from his company I learnt everything. So I said, this is the aqeedah we need to have. It's not acting or fraud or deceit or a drama. Don't make up. It should be your nature, your muhabbat, your love naturally for your teacher. There should be a pull. A pull. Or the other people coming, big personalities, speakers, lecturers. I don't stop. Nobody stop. I never stopped anymore. Why are you going there? No. Many opportunities came. Many pious people used to come, big personalities, and they were recognized, and Jameel Saab and many other people. People used to run away and go there. But I said, no, what kind of people are these? And I was surprised at that time and dismayed. Am I wrong? Or are these people doing wrong? You're sat in front of your sheikh and you're running to other people that time for ziyarah and to listen to them. Is there any greater ziyarah than your sheikh himself, your teacher? SubhanAllah. So this is the aqeedah that we should have with your teacher. Then your tazkiyah will take place. So this is the hukam, the instruction. The most important thing for tazkiyah and Ramadan, in this hadith, we learn this principle. Without this, there will be no tazkiyah. Even you won't attain tazkiyah, purification. Ramadan is lazim, because Ramadan has come as a sheikh, like a teacher, is cleaning us, making us muttaqis, pious people. Yes, and what is that thing? Dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah. The Ramadan says, if I come and you take my company, you don't do dhikrullah, you don't do dhikr of Allah, you don't remember Allah, then what will you get in this month? Ramadan asks us. So Allah's Nabi said, what a beautiful hadith. He explained to us, prescribed to us about dhikr in Ramadan. He told his noble companions, shall I not tell you such an action? That from all of your deeds is the best of deeds. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba ikram, imagine their amal. Tell me the amal, their deeds. Imagine the worship, ibadat, nawafil, Quran, tilawat, everything they did. But the Prophet ﷺ said to his noble companion, shall I tell you an action which will be the best of all of your deeds? Then he said, number two, shall I tell you such an action? SubhanAllah, Allahu Akbar. That close to your Rabb, your Lord, is so pure. In other words, Allah, this action, he considers it the purest of actions, because it purifies the human being. SubhanAllah. In other words, the person who does this action, that person, Allah says, I draw him near to me, the individual, and he gets close to me, near to me. Then the Prophet says, shall I not tell you such an action? Shall I tell you such an action that will elevate your status to the highest rank? And the Sahaba who are listening, they're amazed. What a hadith. So what shall I tell you an action of my Sahaba? That you're given sadqa, spending gold and silver in the path of Allah, but this amal will be greater than spending gold and silver in the path of Allah. Shall I tell you such an action, my companions? The people are fighting, they're going on expeditions, on clashes, but this person who does this action, his amal is greater than them. SubhanAllah, amazing. They said, Bala ya Rasulullah, please tell us, O Prophet, if we don't learn this, then we've lost everything. What is this amal? Tell us. Today, why don't we in this day and age understand this amal? The Sahaba Ikram are desperate to learn this amal. But we read this amal in Fazail Amal, but we don't see this hadith. We see this 10,000 times, we'll read over this hadith, but we don't practice on this. This is the biggest deceit. We read the Quran, we read the verses of Dhikrullah 1,000 times, but we don't practice Dhikrullah. Wadhkurullah kathira la'allakum tuflihun. Thousands of times we've read this verse, but we don't dare to do it. But Allah's karam, subhanAllah, when you go into the company of a sheikh, first thing the sheikh teaches you is Dhikrullah. Has this not happened? Whenever you go to a sheikh, a teacher, then the highest amal that he will prescribe to you, just like Rasulullah prescribed to his companions, is dhikrullah. That it comes, dhikr, it purifies you, cleans you, elevates your status, purest in the eyes of your Lord. And such a high rank you'll get, that subhanAllah, every other deed you do in your life, for example, you go on expeditions, you have to give your life, it's a big deed, and you get darajat. But you have to get up in the morning, pray tahajjud, you have to struggle, make effort, do wudu in the morning. It's difficult, isn't it, to do ibadat? Yeah, with pain and difficulty. You keep a fast, look, you have to leave food and drink all day long, you have to struggle and make effort, and then you go and get Jannah. But here with Dhikrullah, as Abu Sayyid Khudri radiallahu anhu, this hadith, I remember in my mind, what did he say? He said that I heard myself, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Yadhkurullah qawaman fi dunya farishun. These are the words of the hadith, subhanAllah, that farushan yudkhulhum fi darajatil ula, subhanAllah. As Abu Sayyid Khudri radiallahu anhu said that the Holy Prophet said that I heard myself, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there will be such people, some people they'll do such an action, such a great action, that they won't even need to make effort in action, they won't need to strive or break a sweat. They sat without wudu on their mattress, in their beds, and it's a warm bed, they've got a hot water bottle, like some, and with ease and comfort they're laying down, reclining on their couches, and even there if they do this amal, the daraja, the rank, the reward of that amal is that Allah will enter in them to the highest grade of paradise, subhanAllah. They won't need to make an effort. This is the dhikr that you do with the barakah of my teacher, his teaching. So should we not do this dhikr? And we're doing it in Ramadan. So in this Ramadan, if you attain the company of a sheikh and you learn dhikrullah, you become the muttaqi, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So in our life, don't just do two or three things, my friends. How can you get Jannah just by doing a few things? How will we give the hisab in the qabr? How will we give the answer on the day of judgment? On the day of reckoning? Such a great amal, deed, dhikrullah is being prescribed to us. Taught to us. A person, doesn't matter how much hard he has to work to learn dhikrullah, it is not enough. The daraja, the rank of dhikrullah, even if you lie down in your bed, in the mattress, and with ease do dhikrullah, Allah says, I love the action so much, then the highest rank of Jannah you will attain. Highest rank of Jannah. So how unfortunate that person, I don't feel like doing dhikr, I'm lazy, or I'll try one day to do it. Even when we get the company of a sheikh, and even then, mashallah, we go to the majalis of dhikrullah are taking place. The biggest regret for the believer in the hereafter is that person who shaitan and nafs overtook him in the world and took him away from the gathering of dhikr. Men and women the same, women folk are the same. This is the majlis for the women folk as well. That mashallah, today we are so fortunate that every sister today, woman, can have the sohbat of the teacher online. They can connect online. All the sisters who are listening online, they're also in the company of the teacher. And they also get in the same maqamah. Same maqamah. Alhamdulillah. Barakah. Blessings. That as soon as shaitan and fitna and fasad and the days and modernism increases, then Allah Ta'ala also prepares the tools and resources to spread His deen. Where's the online come? I'm sat here, there's a mic here, there's internet people, women folk, sisters in South Africa listening at this moment in time. Yes, women folk, their messages come, they're working hard, they're making effort, they submit their sheets, their tazkiyah, their analysis of from South Africa. Soon as this majlis will finish, their texts come, mashallah, their messages. messages come that today's bayan was great and we benefited. Women folks, sisters, they also in the company of the teacher. We think men were sat in front of the teacher, were sat like animals. We don't even teach clean hearts, and many people are listening, they don't even have yaqeen in the words of the sheikh. They don't do amal on the words of the sheikh. How sad. Can any man like this get anything in the hereafter? When he's ungrateful. So my brothers, Ramadan, Allah's given us Ramadan. It's not for talking and speeches. Rather, Ramadan's come with a great message. If you want to die as a muttaqi, if you want to die as a person with fear of Allah, Ramadan will last for 30 days and then disappear. So it's lazim in Ramadan, you learn this. If you want to become a muttaqi, then Ramadan says the path I'm prescribing to you, practice on this. Number one, that beyond the summary of today's discussion, is that all the parts of our life of the deen, religion, that you should totally practice every sector of the deen. Your akhlaq should be good, your ikhlas should be correct, your ma'amalat should be good, your individual lifestyle should be good, your ibadah should be good, your worship should be good. Not just worship, nafal. People say he's pious, he's righteous. Piety is, what is his akhlaq like? What's his conduct like? What's his conduct with people? His giving and taking. Does he take a loan? Does he repay the loan? Does he break the hearts of people? What's his earnings like? Is it halal or is it haram? Yes, how does he bear the difficulties of life? Haram and halal, lawful and lawful. What's the difference? Does he differentiate? The haram, umrah, hajj on haram, and he's pious, and he's showing people he's pious, and people are putting flowers of roses on his neck and giving him food, and he's done hajj, and he's done umrah. When people come back, they congratulate him. But has he got halal earnings? Has he got halal upkeep? Yani deen, we have made deen a restricted part of life. We just put it into our pocket and we live it the way we want. Whenever you've got no good deed, when you're about to do a good deed like umrah, think first, I'm going to such a holy place. What's inside me? What's inside me? That the money I'm purchasing, the flight tickets with, is it halal? And how will I show my face to Allah when I go there with the haram earnings? First and foremost, and halal. Whenever you do any good action, pious action, ask yourself, this lazim essential first step, do tazkiyah, analyze yourself before you do the action. Make yourself capable that I can reach to that maqam. Yes, go to a sheikh, a teacher, take his company, and correct yourself, clean yourself. So all the parts of your life, your akhlaq is important. You shouldn't lie from your mouth, you shouldn't backbite, you should wash yourself inside. All day long you think of rubbish, and then you say to people you're pious because you pray salah. Fine, salah is correct. It is good. We have to pray salah. But what about all the other parts of life? What about all the other parts of life? So all your ma'amalat, the components that live your life, repent, do tawbah, is lazim, dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah. Without dhikrullah, there's no success for a person. The Prophet ﷺ told us for tazkiyah, purification, the most important component is dhikrullah. May Allah give us all the tawfiq and ability that with the barakah of this Ramadan, Ramadan will disappear. That for the rest of the life, it's given us a message that Ramadan says after 3-4 weeks, I'll disappear. Then are you going to become monkeys and apes the same like you were before? No. Ramadan's given you a message. Until you don't correct yourself, you cannot be correct. Until you don't become a muttaqi, until you don't do tazkiyah and purification, the hands of a sheikh. Go seek a wali Allah, a sheikh, whether it's here, in another country, or in Pakistan, or India, wherever your heart feels that he is pious and he'll correct me and guide me, depends where you find him. It's not necessary that you'll get in Saudi Arabia, somebody will find him in Saudi or Pakistan, India, wherever you find him, that's fine. As long as that teacher is making you do mujahidah, sometimes he's strict, sometimes he's soft, maybe, but wherever you find him, appreciate him, value him. The sad thing is we don't value him. So for example, where did I find my sheikh? Very far away, thousands of miles I had to travel to meet my teacher. Where? No, to my town. And I didn't even find him even in my own town. I had to go to a village in the remote area in the heat. Allah said, go there and do your tazkiyah there. That's where I found my teacher. Thousands of miles we had to make effort and do tazkiyah there. So brothers, finding the right companies, this is your destiny, you have to go there. And I was happy to travel there on that mujahidah. I saw the lease of life I was getting, the fresh life. And I didn't step back. I said, I have to do my tazkiyah, oh teacher. I need to purify myself and clean myself. I used to go there, I kept on going there. At least what happened was, that's what, at least I had a recognition of my sins. I didn't become a good man, but at least I recognized right and wrong in this orbit. Even today, remember the du'as that Hazrat Sahab would give, my teacher would give at that time. So how can you get these things? So immediately, seek a wali Allah, that this is the message of Ramadan, that I'm telling you, if you really want to be a muttaqi and depart this life, this world as a muttaqi, don't just be satisfied on salah. Come towards the whole of Islam, so your whole lifestyle is corrected. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to practice on this. Ameen.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وأصلحنا وجدنا وأبدنا كل ذلك اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمت وما أخرت وما أسررت وما أعلنت. نستعوذ بالله. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم. ربنا إنك أنت التواب. صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام. والحمد لله.